good morning and a very warm welcome to the Lakes Vineyard Church. It's wonderful to have you with us. We are starting a new series this week called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. And today I want to look at the background and introduction to the epistle. That's right, I did say epistle because it's an epistle. It's a letter, just like Galatians, Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's a letter. And so often we miss that, but we'll come to that a wee bit further as we move on through this morning. Today I might repeat myself more than I normally do, but with a clear purpose, to better remember what we need to remember. And over the summer, as we look through the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, I plan on explaining the book's purpose. There are four main purposes. To make a case that Revelation is more a discipleship manual than a book predicting the future. To demonstrate that Revelation is a book about Jesus, which consequently should lead the reader to the feet of Jesus. It should also help believers see the present in light of the unseen realities of the present and the unseen realities of the future. And lastly, it should issue a call for all people to decide who will be the Lord of their life and their world. But before we do any of those things, what is the book's message? What is the book about? The book of Revelation powerfully presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although subject to a wide variety of interpretations, it provides a compelling portrait of a saviour who maintains complete control over the present and the future. No other book helps believers overcome their fears, and no other book explains the movement of history better than Revelation. But who wrote this wonderful book? Most people would suggest that it was the Apostle John, one of the 12. The date that it was written was 96 AD, just before the end of the first century. And at this time, Peter and Paul were already dead. What genre is the letter? Well, the letter is, I said, an epistle. But it's also an apocalypse, which is not a big scary word that we often think about. It literally means the lifting of a curtain or a cover, therefore meaning disclosure or unveiling. So it's the unveiling, or it's a prophecy. Three different things, an epistle, an apocalypse, and a prophecy. What was the location of the writing of the book of Revelation? The island of Patmos, off the coast of modern-day Turkey. The Apostle John had been imprisoned there because he refused to worship the emperor and bow down and recognise him as Lord and Saviour. Who was the audience? Who was the book written to? Who was the letter written to? The letter was written to the seven churches in the Roman province of Asia, at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, who show a mix of fidelity and internal weaknesses. They were human. They had their stuff going on like we have our stuff going on, and John, being a pastor, wrote the letter to them, to encourage them and to warn them. What was the occasion? The early Christians refused to participate in the cult of the emperor, who was proclaimed Lord and Saviour, as already mentioned, and it was putting them on a collision course with the state, the Roman Empire. They were viewed as atheists for not worshipping the emperor. John saw prophetically that it would get worse before it got better, and that the churches were poorly prepared for what was about to take place. So he writes both to warn and encourage them and to announce God's judgments against Rome. What are the emphases of the book? Despite appearances to the contrary, God's in absolute control of history. Although God's people are destined for suffering in the present, God's sure salvation belongs to them. God's judgment will come on those responsible for the church's suffering. And in the end, God will restore what was lost or distorted at the beginning. Revelation shows Christ's followers how to be genuine disciples in the midst of life's harsh realities. Jesus calls us to be disciples on the edge of this world and the next, where kingdoms and God's kingdom clash. Interestingly, I was reading some stuff by Eugene Peterson just this week, and he said, "I do not read the Revelation to get additional information about the life of faith in Christ. I've read it all before in Law and Prophet, in Gospel and Epistle. Everything in the Revelation can be found in the previous 65 books of the Bible. The Revelation adds nothing of substance to what we already know. The truth of the Gospel is already complete, revealed in Jesus Christ. There is nothing new to say on the subject, but there's a new way to say it." And then I read by Darrell W. Johnson, and he said, if it ever became illegal in my part of the world, as it actually is in other places at this very moment, to own a complete copy of the Bible, and if the authorities, as an act of mercy, allowed me to possess just one book of the Bible for personal use, I would, without hesitation, keep the last. I would keep the book of Revelation. Why would he say that? And he goes on to say, because no other book of the Bible presents the gospel as powerfully as the last book does. No other book of the Bible, in the face of all that threatens to undo us, proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ the way the last book does. So with that in mind, maybe what we should start to do is have a look at the book of Revelation. So if you have a Bible, or you can read it on screen, we're going to start reading from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read the entire first chapter. "The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was in the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash round his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So often with the book of Revelation, we get caught up in the symbolism, and the vivid imagery and things being described as something else. My encouragement to you is this: read the book. Read the epistle. Read it from start to finish. Read it in one sitting. And when you read through it, if there are some things that are maybe puzzling, write a question mark at the side and you can come back to it at another time. But we've just seen in the first chapter that it talks about the seven stars being the angels of the seven churches and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Otherwise, that might have been confusing. But as we read through the epistle, these things are explained, these things become clear, and it will help as we keep reading it. The book of Revelation is not a crystal ball revealing secrets that enable us to escape the harsh realities of life on earth, but it's a down-to-earth manual on how to be a disciple of Jesus facing the harsh realities of life on earth, in particular how to do this the way Jesus did and does. Revelation is a book about Jesus Christ. It's revelation in the sense that the curtain is pulled back so that we can arrive at a deeper understanding of Jesus being in complete control of this world. The visions John received in the island of Patmos provide a constant reminder that things are not as they seem. There's more to life than meets the eye. And although the book presents challenging symbolism, the underlying theme is obvious. Jesus has already won the battle. The book, which speaks a contemporary word to the church in our world, forces us to deal with the fundamental issue of discipleship. Who will be the object of my worship? I read a funny story last week where I read about some seminary students were playing basketball, and the caretaker or janitor of their seminary came into the gym while they were playing basketball, saw they were playing, picked up one of the students' Bibles, they were theology students, and started reading through the book of Revelation. One of the basketball players recognised the janitor, saw that he was reading his Bible and thought he would just leave it. And at the end of the game, he approached the janitor and says, "What were you reading?" He says, "I was reading the book of Revelation." And the student chuckled a little bit. And he says, "Did you understand what you were reading?" And the janitor said, "Absolutely." And the student chuckled a bit again. And he says, "Well, what did you pick up from what you're reading?" And he says, "Jesus gonna win." That's what we have as we read through the book of Revelation. The person who we choose to worship, our Lord and our Saviour, is gonna win. The book of Revelation does have some vivid imagery, but it doesn't reveal any new truth. It simply presents the gospel of Jesus Christ in a fresh way, namely through vivid imagery. The book contains more than 500 quotations or allusions to the Old Testament, reminding us that John saw these visions through the lens of an imagination steeped in the Old Testament. God blessed us with an imagination. We have to use our imagination. And if you're ever going to use your imagination more than you've ever done before, you need to use it as you read the book of Revelation. Use your imagination. God gave you it for a reason, and this could be one of those reasons, but I would encourage you, use your imagination. The next thing, historical context. Evidence points to a date around AD 96. The persecution of Christians had escalated since the time of Jesus. Emperor Domitian in AD 92 required that all citizens bow and declare divine lordship to the emperor. John refused and was arrested and banished to the island of Patmos as punishment. He was seen as an atheist. He refused to bow down to somebody else. And in the very first chapter, the Lord reveals to him, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." That's who he was to the Apostle John. Domitian wasn't that. Should we honour the Emperor? Absolutely. Should we show him some respect? Of course. Should we abide by the law that he brings into the country where we live? Yes. Worship him? Absolutely not. Then there are some literary observations in the book of Revelation. John refers to the book as a letter, as I mentioned earlier, as a prophecy, and as an apocalypse. John's a pastor writing a pastoral letter to encourage believers to stay strong in difficult times. Prophecy suggests declaration more than prediction. We have this thing that prophecy is about predicting the future. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's about revelation. Sometimes it's about declaring what is happening now rather than what is going to happen in the future. A friend of mine once wrote a paper that was called Prophecy, Prediction or Revelation. And it was a trick title because it's both. And in this case, prophecy suggests declaration more than prediction. And if we can get that into our minds, it will aid our reading of the book of Revelation. The visions helped Christians interpret the times in which they lived. They lived at the end of the first century, going into the second century, and that is the scene. That sets the scene for what is happening and where it happened and when it happened. And then as apocalyptic literature, the book helps us understand the present in light of the unseen future. It also helps us interpret the present in light of present events. Remember, things are not as they seem. And so a couple of things that I would say to you as you're reading through the epistle of Revelation. As you read the text first, ask these two questions. What leaps out at me? And if something leaps out at you, mark it, underline it, put an asterisk beside it, and you can come back and look at it. That really leapt out at me. That is incredible. I've never noticed that before. And then the second one is, what puzzles me? And if something puzzles you, write a question mark beside it. You can come back to it later. You can review it later. You are allowed to go back to it. Because my thoughts on this are that you're not just going to read this once. You're going to want to go back and you're going to want to go back and look at it and reread it again and again and again. The book of Revelation is about the first century church that's heading for a terrible two century Holocaust. Read it with that in view and then ask yourself, where do I fit in? God is in control. There is absolute reassurance. There's a threefold woe over Rome/Babylon, but there's a threefold hallelujah to those who are God's people. God is in control, not us. Our task is to bear witness to Christ under whatever circumstances. The Greek word for witness is martyr. The ultimate witness was martyrdom. Thankfully, in this day and age, in our country where we live, martyrdom isn't something that faces us as a reality. But we still get to bear witness to Christ. And in some places, we may not live long after we do that. I was listening to Gordon Fee just the other day relating to the book of Revelation, and he said this: I just cringe when people take it and make it have to do with something in our future when the only stuff that is in our future is chapters 21 and 22. Everything else belonged back in the near future of these seven churches and all other Christians at the beginning of the second century. So often we read the book of Revelation as if this is about our complete future. The only parts that relate to our future are chapters 21 and 22. The rest of it, the setting, the context that it is set in is the end of the first to the beginning of the second century AD. So, as we wind up today, four things that I want you to keep in mind as you read the book of Revelation. Revelation is more a discipleship manual than a book predicting the future. Revelation is a book about Jesus, and it should lead us to the feet of Jesus. Revelation helps us to see the present in light of the unseen realities of the present and the unseen realities of the future. And Revelation is a call for all people to decide who will be the Lord of their life and their world. Who is the Lord of your life and your world? Would you like to stand?